Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. This is Apostle Johnny Floyd, and I am coming to you tonight. It's Tuesday night, and this is the next to the last Tuesday in this year, and I'm excited about our topic tonight. I've definitely had the opportunity to talk to some other people regarding this topic, and had some folks listen to this from Mexico and from Ireland. And so, what's good about tonight is the fact that, we're going to dig deep off into something that perhaps has been, I would say, avoided. Can I say that? Yeah, been avoided. So, but before we get started, pray with your brother, if you will. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. God, we appreciate you for being you. Father, we thank you, O God, for being with us throughout this day and how you have protected and guided us and kept those safe when some thought that possibly life was over. God, you've given them a retreat where they can step into another area of life and be productive in it. So, God, we just thank you tonight, Father. And, Father, we ask, O Lord, that you speak to the listener tonight, Father, that you speak into their ear, and that you, O Lord, begin to do something special in their life. We bless you, O God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So, dear hearts, last week, I was just getting in from a conference. I was out in Las Vegas, and, God was speaking to me about some things, and literally went into the book of Genesis, chapter number 2, and I talked about a topic that we have avoided for a number of years. And when I say avoided, it's because the manner by which we discussed it, and which I think is kind of handicapped a lot of us when it comes down to hearing from the Lord. And so I want to recap some things before I go into this. This whole entire session, this series, has been about the presentation that has been made when a person is seeking God. And I won't use that word seeking God because there's something I want to say regarding that. But when a person is seeking God in their own mind, when they come to a church, it's a presentation that's made. And that presentation kind of carries a lot of weight. Some folks are unsure or unaware of, let me say, that they are not presenting Christ. Their presentation doesn't have anything to do with Christ Jesus. Their presentation is locked into Christianity. And since there are so many shapes, forms, sizes, dialects, versions of Christianity, you get many approaches on how one should see God. And now the interesting piece here is that, there is an indoctrinable thought process in how one is shaped to believe that a book has God's word in it, right? And so without any equivocation, we start to believe in that because our parents teach us that they have respect for the book that is called the Bible. And it is believed that your relationship, watch what I said now, your relationship is shaped from what you read. Your relationship is shaped by what you read. So now this is an interesting criteria, right? And the reason why I say that is because if your relationship with God is shaped by what you read, watch this now. When God speaks to you, you will not know his voice. Now, what does Genesis have to do with all this? Because In the presentation, when Moses presents God to us, he presents God in a manner by which God is speaking. Okay? God is speaking, and therefore Moses is identifying not the fact of how God did certain things on certain days, but the fact that when God said something, things begin to happen. Are you with me? So anytime God actually said something, when he said, let there be light, light came. And so he spoke light into existence because light did not exist before God said something. And then we hear him when he slings the when he puts the moon and the stars and the sun in place because, you know, they had no existence before God said anything. So what is written now doesn't supersede what God has said. What it does is just shares with you what God said to them. Man, I hope y'all hear what I'm saying here tonight now. All this does is share with you what God said or has said to them. But now the mouth of God has not been shut. He's consistent in speaking and consistent in actually addressing certain issues. And so we have now deduced God that he is only between Genesis and Revelations, and I think not. Because before there was the book named Genesis, there was God. Y'all need to hear me now. And so as God begins to speak, you've heard me talk about this before, the earth became chaotic. Because now the earth has the render of everything that God has spoken to. It has to produce now. Something that had no light, no color, no accent, no shape, no form now, has to now produce all of these things. But without God saying something, it is difficult for anything to happen. So the presentation now was Moses made in the beginning of the books of the Bible and all throughout was based upon something that God was saying. Now, if we look in time, we are really addressing the fact, not trying to record what God said, but trying to position ourselves that we would hear from him. And it's interesting now. What makes this not a dialect, what makes this not something that is cultural, but this establishes something in the midst of us being the children of God, that God now speaks, and he spoke then, and he'll speak now. But if you can only read about God from Genesis to Revelations, right, then there will be some time and some areas where you miss God. Because you didn't hear from him. You know, my father once told me, he said that if a man or woman can't hear from God, they cannot obey God. Here comes the difficulty then. Jesus says, my sheep knoweth my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. And now, and I'm going to point out some differences here because I really want you to hear this now. You know, Jesus says for us to do something, and Paul asks us to do something different. I know y'all got quiet. You know, you got quiet. Jesus asked us to do something, right? Paul says for us to do something different. And now I'm going to make this clear. And I want you to get your Bibles, right? If you have it, then you'll see what I'm saying. So I want you to compare Mark 29. If you get Mark chapter 29, Mark chapter 11, 29. Y'all excuse me, right? Mark chapter 11, verse number 29. And this is what Jesus said in the King James Version. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Listen to that. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So Jesus now is saying, like she's saying this, he wants them to, when he says, take my yoke, a yoke, not egg yolk, but a yoke that connects you with him as he moves, you move. But Paul says this, right? He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 1. People, leaders have said this consistently, follow me, right, as I follow Christ. Jesus is telling you to take his yoke and learn of him. And Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. I want you all, and some may think I'm being nitpicky, but I have a reason for this now. Most of us are more interested in the Pauline writings and considering those the word of God than God's voice itself. If he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, somebody give me a reason on why God is silent. Or is he talking? And which leads us to this, because this is the presentation now. I'm getting to the heart of Genesis chapter number 2. Getting to the heart of it, right? So if God is speaking, maybe now we don't hear him as good as we think. Think about that. If God is speaking, it could be that we don't hear the Lord as good as we think. And we are afraid to say this, Lord, I am not sure that I hear your voice. Think about that now. I'm getting into the heart of chapter number 2. Because if we read in chapter number 1, it's a little bit more than the earth obeying God. Because, you know, now if the earth obeys God, then he creates man. Man should obey God. But the disconnect is man stopped obeying God. So now we've laid the foundation here that Genesis chapter 1 talks about the beginning of time, but it sends a very instrumental and powerful message, is that God has a voice. As elementary as that is and where we stand in understanding who God is, you know, God has a voice. God has a voice. And I'm interested in finding out literally what God has said. I don't want to read what God said to Peter. I don't want to read what God said to Paul. I don't want to read what God said to any of those, and I thank God for them. I want my ears tuned that when the presentation happens with God, I can hear it. Now, watch this now, because I'm talking about presentations. I mean, you have to be in the presence of the Lord, and I'm going into chapter 2 with a thunder and a fire. Because now we get into the fact that at the end of chapter 1, and I'm still recapping, at the end of chapter 1, we dealt with man being made in the image of God. And now, mind you, man's development and creation came from the mouth of God, not something that we've read. Not something that we've read, but God speaking now. And again now, if God spoke then, he should be speaking now. But no one has the courage to say, Father, I don't know if I'm hearing your voice. Think about that. To the marinate on that for a minute. Can you literally say that you, can you be honest for a minute? Let me say that. Can you just be flat out honest? Lord, I don't know if it's your voice that I'm hearing. Why do I say this? Because God is speaking to you about something in particular, and you will brush it off and say, that's not God. Until you get around someone that you have not spoken to, and they read your mail out in public. And now you want to say that this person is truly a man or a woman of God. Why did you need confirmation based upon something that God has said to you? Think about this now. It's not saying that something's wrong with confirmation, but why do you need confirmation on something that God has said to you? If he said it, it's going to come to pass. If God said it, it is going to come to pass. So I'm almost getting into the topic for the night. Even when we talk about the man and the woman, somebody has to hear from the Lord. That should be someone in the marriage. Not to say that the person got to be perfect, not to say the other person can be the devil. It doesn't say that. But someone in this should be able to hear from God. And if you can't, this is where the problem lies. Oh, man, and I want you to notice something here now. When you read Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 18, then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. So the Lord God formed the ground, all the wild animals, and the birds of the sky. He brought them to a man to see what he would call them. And the man chose a name for each one. He gave names to all the livestock, all of the birds of the sky, and the wild animals. And this is the part that really touched me. So the Lord God caused man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord took out of one of the man's ribs and closed him up. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib and brought her to man. So the reason why this is vital information is because Adam, and I want y'all to hear this now, Adam never came to God before there was sin and asked him for anything. A part of Adam's worship is to obey God. That's it. Now you one would finish that day, they can look at the activities of the day to determine, you know, what their mindset is gonna be the following day. But as they look at these things, they make a determination that, man, I really don't hear from the Lord. Think about this, man. Just think about this. Because God now has Adam sleep and Eve in his womb. Adam is asleep, protected by God, but Eve is in his hand. When God created man and made him in his image, there was nothing that one would have to have or need coming into the presence of the Lord. Because when God created everything in Genesis, he had done everything. There was no need for anything. No need. God had no need to pull Adam in, knowing Adam is in need of something. Because God had already provided. So Adam wouldn't come into God's presence asking him for anything. This was Adam's opportunity to worship, and it didn't have anything to do with the church. Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. I really want you to dive deep into this. Got a little quiet, didn't it? I really want to express to you all the importance of hearing the Lord. Because, my friend, for the men, when we hear from the Lord, as we go into his presence, he doesn't give us or listen to what we need. He gives us or what we want. He gives us what we need. And we don't ask for it. Adam didn't have to ask for anything because God had already supplied it for him. So I want to be clear about something. Where we don't choose God. We never have. We never choose God. God chooses us. You don't choose God. He chooses you. And if he has chosen you, that means you heard him when it comes to doing things because you're right the place where God wants you to be. Don't have anything to do with what someone has said or what you read. If God speaking into your spirit tells you what he wants you to be, think about this. What I love about this topic here, ladies and gentlemen, is because it requires us to close our eyes, open our ears, and hear what God is saying. We should be able to do that. We should be in a position to hear whatever the Lord has to say. Why would God give Adam a mate, and he already had one? Think about that. Why would God give a man a mate, and he's not obeying God? It's difficult to worship the Lord without obeying him. Because he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. No greater love has no man than this than he that would lay down his life for a friend. If I had a topic tonight, ladies and gentlemen, it would be hearing from the Lord. Not no one else, just me, Lord. Standing here in the need of prayer. think about this. Just meditate on the fact that God pulls you into his presence just because he wants to you to dwell with him. And see, that's the thing that I really want people to grab a hold of, you know, because, and again, it's controversial. I know I'm going to say it, you know, but, you know, when God finished with Adam and he had done everything that Adam needed, he didn't ask Adam to pray. He just made a place where Adam could come and dwell with him. That was the Garden of Eden. God makes this place. He designs it. He sculpts it out. And this is a place in which the children of Israel would come and dwell with God, if it was a wilderness. But the Garden of Eden was a place where God had designed where Adam could come. And so Adam had to show his diligence of obeying God. Now, he could not obey God if he couldn't hear from the Lord. So in order for Adam to do the work, he had to find out what God wanted him to do. And once he discovered what God wanted him to do, then he could obey God in the task. And because his obedience wasn't selective on what he would obey God about, it was continual. Since it was continual, God had a place for only him and Adam. This is the trueness of worship. Now, I'm getting to the essence of chapter number 2 here shortly. But this is the essence of hearing from the Lord. If God is so powerful and he speaks in the beginning, he speaks those things that are not and they become real, tangible. If God does that when no one reads, imagine what he's going to do if someone destroys what we call the Bible. I wonder how many people would honestly hear from the Lord without the Bible. Think about this now. This is a lot to even consider. That Genesis is the presentation or the introduction for God to speak to you. And we fall into here in chapter 2 where God is speaking, but he's also shaping and forming because Eve is in his hand. And her heart is towards God before sin. Her heart is turned towards her husband after sin. But before sin, his heart was to women. After sin, I'm sorry. Before sin, his heart was to God. Eve's heart was pointed toward God. It wasn't until after sin that God points her heart towards her husband. Not to rule, but now that she would be treated that way. Was it never to rule? And so now, and I want you, as I dig deeper into this, so Adam first hears from the Lord. God develops a place where Adam could come and him and God could dwell together, called the garden. And so now when Adam is working, it is God that sees that he's alone, and he said he shouldn't be alone. So even at his age or however old he was, God now determines that Adam has obeyed me, and now I'm going to give him a wife. Now let's look at the piece that's not really talked about, the one that people avoid because it gives them a level of insecurity. And I've been there, you know, because we as men, I can't talk about women, but we as men, we have the visual attractions and then the assumptions. And not one time have we heard from the Lord. It's the visual attraction and the assumptions. And we really pursue women not hearing from the Lord, but based on visual attraction. And then the actual assumption, because you now assume based upon what you see in other places that how it's going to be for you in your walk with God. And that's not true. Because it's never important for you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ to base your how you hear from God. It's never good to get it from a book. Not to say God can't use the book to talk to you, because he can. But it was the Lord that indicated that he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, meaning himself, has to say unto the church. That means he's still speaking. And if he's speaking, imagine men now that are hearing the voice of the Lord, doing what God asked them to do, and now he sees that they need a mate. And it's him that makes the presentation of what he has put together. But all of this generates from God speaking, from the Lord speaking. I really want you all to grab this, because it's right there in front of us. Genesis chapter number 1, 2, and 3, introduction, introduces one that don't know who God is. He treats them and talks to them because he has built the place for them to come and dwell with him. Let's not make worship about us. Because when Adam went to worship the Lord, he didn't go there to ask God for anything, because he had everything. God had already provided everything for him. Now, he wanted a woman, and God gave him that, but Adam didn't ask for the woman. So it is in this book that God puts Adam to sleep, so he can now work on the wife that God wants her to be for him. That's interesting, and I know it, because it centers around the fact that not just the man is doing the work, but the man has heard from the Lord. Interesting, ain't it? Now, I'm driving this because I want to get to a point, because I have a question that I have to leave with you. It's a serious question, you know, but I just want to be able to leave this question to you. So Genesis 1, 2, and 3, and we are coming to the conclusion, the end of chapter number 2, riding off into chapter number 3. But before I walk away from chapter number 2, my question to you is, what has God said to you? Do you need someone else to confirm what God said? Do you have more confidence in tradition than you do God speaking to you? Listen to these questions now. This is very hard, because as time goes, we are running out of resources. What are we going to do to follow that man that said, I'm following Christ? What are we doing when Jesus tells them that he is the chief shepherd? Just doesn't make sense to it. So my job tonight is to make a presentation of the power of God as you come to the Lord. Let me clarify. when we hear from God and obey what he says, it puts us in a different space. When we hear from God, it puts us spiritually in a different place. You know, why is this important? Jesus says, my sheep know my voice, and the stranger they would not follow. And so Jesus is driving this, and he teaches this, that they would hear his voice, not to come and change clothes just to look good and look pretty and then be in front of him, because he's not interested in that. You know, God gives us an assignment, and in that assignment, we end up back before him. And when we're coming back before him, it is not that we have our hand open saying, Lord, I'm in need of something. Because if we really understand the art of worship, is when you obey what God has said to you and you come into his presence now, it doesn't have anything to do with you. This is still about God. Think about that. Coming into the presence of the Lord doesn't require that you say anything. That's why I've been pausing and listening. Hearing from God doesn't require that you say anything. Isn't that crazy? Because you've been taught you had to pray your way in. Coming into the presence of the Lord is not you seeking God. It's God summoning you. It's the Lord God calling you in so you can dwell with him. If you remember, he asked Moses to build a tabernacle, and it was a tent. It wasn't a formal structure of a building. It was a tent. And this was from the orders of God. He built God a tabernacle, which is another name for a dwelling place. So God was looking for his people to meet him at a place where it was all about him. Think about that. He puts you in a place where when he draws you in, this really doesn't have anything to do with you. It is really all about him. What am I saying? When God puts the man and the woman together, and the man is hearing from God, and the woman is hearing from God, when they come into the presence of the Lord, it really doesn't have anything to do with them. It's all about him. In him, I mean God. That's who it is. Now I'm going to say something that's interesting, controversial. It may sound that way. God gave man what he needed in a wife, and it didn't have anything to do with his spirit. It had everything to do with his flesh. And the flesh was not a bad thing, because God gave him a fleshly woman. She was real and touchable. He did not give him a spiritual woman. Adam realized this. That's why when he saw her in the presentation that God made, he said, now, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. So he understood what God had given him. He definitely understood what God had given him. And because of that, she named her. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. You used to call Eve. Eve. Look at Genesis chapter number 2. Is the same as Genesis chapter number 1. Hearing from the Lord. Even in your marriage, dear heart, business, job, wherever you are, it is common practice that you hear from the Lord. Whether you're single or married, I don't necessarily want you to hear from me or hear from anyone that has a book. I want you to stop for a minute and just soak up the fact that God loves you and that he has people designed to come into his presence. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. This is what I love about God. Then when you read Genesis chapter number 2, verse 18 to 25, you see the handiwork of God with people, not just with things. You see what God is doing with people and not just things. That's the power in this, dear heart. This is the strength of it, is your ability to hear from the Lord. This is where I leave you with this thought right here. Which one is more powerful? Me reading about God or God talking to me? Which one is more powerful? Pray because we are standing before the Lord and we want God to hear us. We don't have to pray to go into a place to talk to the Lord because we've been obedient and thankful throughout the day. When we find that place where he's waiting on us, we'll know it when we get there. Just think about it for a second. Think about it for 1 second. As you close your eyes and you go into a complete silence, I wonder what God would say to you. You're trying to experience the fact that if I said it, and some of us need to say it so God can speak to us so he can tune our ears up a whole lot better. When we be honest, we can say it without any equivocation. God, I don't know if I hear your voice. Complete silence. I wonder what God is saying to you. Wouldn't that be wonderful that in your silence you hear God speaking to you? Wouldn't that be wonderful that we don't have to grab these old books and talk about what happened then, but we can talk about what's going on now? Dear hearts, it is imperative that we hear from the Lord and that you take time out that you would hear from God. This is what time is. Let me pray with my brother. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for another night. And as we recap the things we discussed, God, we went back and dove off into man and his wife. Just hearing from God. Genesis chapter number 1 and 2. Hearing from God. The power of the voice of God, the authority that carries with the voice of my God. Look at that moment of silence. Listen to that. You shut down all the noise, and the only one you hear is God. Well, pray with your brother. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we appreciate you. We love you. We guide through your path, Father. We hope, God, that our eyes are set upon you as we follow you, and that we not get wrapped up into the things that are around us, but we can constantly hear from you, and that we, oh God, position ourselves even the more that you would talk to us. Father, we bless you in this hour. There is no other God like you. No other God. And I thank you, oh Lord, that we can go into a silent place and receive instructions. Do that as you have designed to be done, and we return back to you ready to be refueled, ready to be gassed up. So I thank you, oh God. I appreciate these moments in which you were speaking into my spirit, and that you continue to do so because you have that permission. Be with the listeners tonight, Father. Increase their faith for the difficult situations where they are. And God, increase mine, that I would see you in all that I do. I bless you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, dear hearts, I'm excited again. Thank you for allowing me to come into your homes, into your workplace, in your car. And I want to challenge you, you know, because now we don't have much time to waste if we have any. And we need to be focused on the situation at hand. And that's hearing from God. I pray that you hear from the Lord. And there will be no equivocation of your mind, your thought process, that God has said something. Amen? Well, amen. Well, I appreciate it again, being in your presence. I'm cutting it short tonight. I have some things that God, the Lord laid on my heart to do. And I just want to be able to do those things and obey him. That's where I am. Just obey the Lord. Amen. God bless you all. Until next Tuesday.